ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Vyaktam vibhastu lamidam sariram yenendriya pranamano gunam stvam vongshe stito dhamani paramestye avyakta atma purusha purana vyaktam vibhastu lamidam sarinam yenendriya pranamano gunam stvam vongshe stito dhamani paramestye avyakta atma purusha purana vyaktam vibhastu lamidam sariram yenendriya pranamano gunam stvam vongshe stito dhamani paramestye avyakta atma purusha purana Ladies, Yaktam manifested Vibho. O my Lord, Stulam cosmic manifestation. Idam this. Sariram external body. Yena by which. Indriya, the senses. Prana, the life air. Mana, the mind. Gunan, transcendental qualities. Tvam, you. Bhungshe, enjoy. Stita, situated. Dhamani, in your own abode. Paramestye, the supreme. Avyakta, not manifested through ordinary knowledge. Atma, the soul. Purusha, the supreme person. Purana, the oldest. O my Lord, being changelessly situated in your own abode, you expand your universal form within this cosmic manifestation, thus appearing to taste the material world. You are Brahman, the supreme soul, the oldest, the personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said that the absolute truth appears in three features, namely impersonal Brahman, localized supersoul, and ultimately the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. The cosmic manifestation is the gross material body of the supreme personality of Godhead, who enjoys the taste of the material mellows by expanding his parts and parcels, the living entities who are qualitatively one with him. The supreme personality of Godhead, however, is situated in the Vaikuntha planets, where he enjoys the spiritual mellows. Therefore, the one absolute truth, Bhagavan, pervades all by his material cosmic manifestation, the supreme or the spiritual Brahman effulgence, and his personal existence as the Supreme Lord. Om Jnanthimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate
Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Very grateful to be with you today. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. Text 33. So often His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, when He would sit on this seat or anywhere in the world, He would plead to us to take this opportunity of human life, this Krishna consciousness, seriously. If only we take it seriously, we can access Sri Rukmini Dwarkadisha's grace. That grace will help us to overcome all obstacles. Daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva me prapadyante mayame tatarantite. This material nature, which is the divine energy of the Lord, is very difficult to overcome. The three modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, sattva, rajab, tamas, are insurmountable. But one who takes shelter of the Lord can easily cross beyond it. To take shelter is to be sincere. We find in this story of Hiranyakashipu a person who was on a material level, extremely serious, but on a spiritual level, totally insincere. We were discussing the other day about the type of tapasya or austerities that he performed. You have to be serious to impress Lord Brahma, to impress the demigods. That's not a small thing. He stood on his toes for 100 celestial years. He did not drink a drop of water. Year after year after year. What to speak of eating any food. It was an intense fast. He didn't eat food, he didn't drink water, but the worms and the ants were eating him as food and drinking his blood like water. And he didn't move. His arms were above his head. Now some of us, when we try to meditate, If a fly starts going zzz, and then they go on us and they start doing whatever they do, sometimes we go like that. I remember years ago, I was doing a particular type of meditation in Bodh Gaya, the place Buddha did his meditation. And we weren't supposed to move during this meditation. And the evening session, there were so many mosquitoes. And we met some people who had malaria from these mosquitoes. So it was a real thing. Malaria, very common there. So as we're meditating, the mosquitoes are biting us. And we're wondering, is it a male mosquito or a female mosquito? So we're trying to be celibate and all that stuff. Is this a male or a female taking my blood from me? And I think it's the females that have malaria. So am I going to get malaria? Besides just the discomfort of being bitten by a mosquito, and they were hungry, one after another after another. And the tendency is to go like this. Or like this. Like this. They're everywhere. It took willpower. Meditation was 1 hour. And it wasn't only me. I knew everybody was there. Was waiting for that bell to ring at the end of the hour. There was a gong. Boom. There we go. Well, here is Hiranyakashipu. His entire body was being eaten by worms and ants, not just one or two, thousands, constantly. And yet he did not give in to the temptation to rub a single one off. He just tolerated. To the extent that they built an entire anthill over him and around him. He couldn't even, there was no fresh air. There's no windows, no doors, just an anthill. And he did not move. He was serious, but totally insincere. We're warned how unfavorable it is to flatter people. But at the same time, we're taught that to offer praise and honor is a very important aspect of our devotional life. Hiranyakashipu is offering prayers to Brahma. He's offering his prayers as the represent, because Brahma is representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's extolling perfectly, according to philosophy, siddhanta, scripture, previous acharyas, he is praising the Supreme Lord. But what makes him insincere? He's actually just flattering the Lord. Whatever he's saying about the Lord being changelessly situated in your own abode, you expand your universal form within this cosmic manifestation. This is what he wants. He doesn't want to serve the Lord. He's not glorifying the Lord. He's saying these things because through doing it, he will try to get as many of those things for himself as possible. Little Prahlad, he offered very similar prayers as Hiranyakashipu, but he was sincere because he was offering the prayers in genuine appreciation, genuine love for the Lord. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. He simply wanted to please Lord Narasingadev, Krishna. He wanted nothing for himself. Lord Brahma is telling Hiranyakashipu, I will give you any benediction. And here Hiranyakashipu is praising Lord Brahma. Beyond what Brahma even is, he's praising him as the Supreme Lord. Sometimes if we want something from someone, we praise them beyond what they are. We don't even believe it ourselves. But we're just hoping that they will take us seriously so that they'll give us what we want, our favors. Yes? But then if a person's in a big position, we will praise them to get favors. But if we don't need favors, we have nothing to do with them. That is Hiranyakashipu. What he's saying about Brahma, he's glorifying him as the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the supreme personality of Godhead. Because he wants something. And when Brahma offers him benedictions, Hiranyakashipu, he asks for everything possible. Not only is he a great pundit of scripture, but he's practically like a lawyer, an attorney. He was asking for benedictions, making sure there was no possible clause by which he could ever be defeated or ever die. He would have been a great lawyer, can you imagine? Trying to negotiate with Hiranyakashipu. I will not be killed. And he just went through everything. Either day or night, I will not be killed by any man or animal or yaksha or rakshasa or daitya or gandharva or any living being created by you, Brahma. I will not be killed in the water, in the sky, or on the land. I will not be killed either inside or outside anything. Hare Krishna. Quite legalistic. Quite thorough. And he wanted all the mystic powers. He wanted control over the whole universe. He wanted to be the proprietor of everything, from Indra's abode down. And little Prahlad, he was offered benedictions. He didn't want anything. What did he ask for? When Lord Narasingadev insisted he take something. Finally, little Prahlad, he said, if I am offering my prayers to you, if I am engaging in my devotional service to you with anything selfish, then I'm not a devotee. Little Prahlad tolerated a lot too. He was very much like his father in certain ways. Hiranyakashipu was able to tolerate immense pain and suffering to get his goal. And little Prahlad, he was willing to tolerate being thrown in fire, being thrown in the bottom of oceans, being thrown off mountain cliffs, put in serpent pits, being stabbed by tridents. He didn't resist. He just meditated on Krishna. Remembered Krishna. But if I did any of that with desire for anything in return, I'm not a devotee. I'm just doing business with you. But if you insist, you want to give me some benediction, then let me continue to take birth in this world. And as long as anyone is forgetful of you, if anyone is suffering due to trying to enjoy this temporary existence, let me be here to help remind them of you. He wanted to be the servant of the servant of the servant of all living beings. That was his only benediction. And also my father, what he did, just to me and to so many others, forgive him. Give him liberation. Prahlad actually conquered. He conquered the heart of God. Because of his sincerity. He had no ulterior motives. And this is a very important part of being sincere from a spiritual perspective, is that we do not have ulterior motives. In Shikshastakam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a gradual progression of how we can attain the highest state of ecstatic love of God in the mood of the gopis in separation from Krishna just by chanting Krishna's names. In the Shikshastakam, he is leading us through the various states of consciousness, the development of our spirit of devotion to attain that. Ai nandatanuja kinkaram. He's praying, my Lord, just allow me to be a speck of dust at your lotus feet. You are my only shelter. Nayanam galadashu dharaya vadanam gadgadaru dhaya gira. As I chant your name, let torrents of tears pour from my eyes. Let my hair stand on end in ecstasy and my limbs tremble. Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha prabhrishayatam sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. This is a state of such advanced chanting of God's name that as we're chanting, a moment, a nimesh. Srila Prabhupada explains when somebody involuntarily blinks their eyes, the amount of time that the lower eyelid touches the upper eyelid. Now, you don't even know you're blinking, but I'm watching you blinking. You're watching me blinking. But when we blink, we don't even notice any obstruction in vision because it's so fast. You know, every few seconds we blink. It's not that we're thinking that the lights are going on and off. It's insignificant. But this is the sensitivity of the gopis' love for Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, that in that amount of time of the blink, that amount of time seems yugayatam nimeshena. Prabhupada said like 12 years or more. Yugayatam nimeshena also means this nimesh seems like a yuga. Kali Yuga is the shortest yuga, 432,000 years, or something, 435,000 years, something. Anyways, that's a long time. And that's the smallest of the yugas. That's what it seems like, that blink of eye without seeing Krishna, that separation. And the entire universe, the jagat sarvam, the whole universe, is like a dreary void without you, my Lord, Govinda. But in order to experience this ecstasy, Natanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhaktirohoite kitvai.
In order to attain that, we simply have to be sincere. We cannot actually attain it. It is given to us. This prema, this love, this ecstasy of separation and meeting of the Lord, vipralamba sambhoga, it comes by grace. When we are sincere. And Lord Chaitanya is basically teaching us what it really means to be sincere. My Lord, I do not want wealth. I do not want to enjoy the senses, even with the most beautiful of the opposite sex. I do not want fame or position or prestige or followers. I don't want to be seen as a great scholar with so much knowledge. I don't even want liberation from suffering. If I must suffer, I will suffer. I don't mind that. Let me just, if you desire, I don't want liberation from birth and death even. I simply want to serve you. I simply want to please you. Anywhere, wherever you want me, however you want me, unconditionally.
Narayana para sarve na kutashchana bibhyate swarga pavarga narakeshu api pul tulya tadarshanam.
Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam yatashambhu, the most elevated expansion of the Lord in the role of a Vaishnav. In Chitraketu, who was a king, he kind of accidentally insulted Lord Shiva. He didn't mean to insult him. It was just too much. Here he was, Chitraketu. He had gone through so much in his life. He had no children. He wanted a child. Went through so much effort and so much prayer and so much blessings he received to get a child. Then the child was killed by the people who he loved. It was too much. And ultimately, you know, the child was by Narada Muni's grace. The child told him that you're an illusion, my father. I'm not this body. You're not this body. You think I'm your child? I'm an eternal soul. I'm going somewhere else. Where are you going to go? And father was enlightened and became such a great devotee. He attained such a state after so much trouble, so much tribulation. He finally attained this state. And usually when you attain something, you're really attached to it. You don't want to lose it. He attained a blissful state of an enlightened king. And here Parvati, expansion of Srimati Radharani. Parvati curses him. First she accuses him. You have insulted my husband Shiva. You are low, you are a hypocrite, you are a nonsense. And therefore I curse you to go to hell and be a demon.
Hare Krishna.
Now, usually when you invest in something and you finally get it after years and years, you don't like to lose it. Well, he really lost it. From an enlightened king to become a demon in hell. And it's not like you or me saying this about somebody. We get angry. This is Parvati, the goddess of material energy. When she says something, it's absolutely correct. And Chitraketu, he bowed his head in gratitude. Actually, I didn't mean to insult your husband. I think you misunderstood me, but still, if this is what you want me to do, I'm happy to become a demon and go to hell and all that stuff. Just let me continue to remember you and serve you, my Lord. He didn't get angry with Parvati.
He saw her as an instrument of the Lord's grace to help him to grow. And he really grew into Vritrasura. He grew into enormous size. And he was a demon. And all the devotees and all the demigods, they hated him. He was really misunderstood. But he was a Paramhamsa. Even though he was doing the duties that he was supposed to do in that role, he was constantly meditating in ecstatic love and separation. When will I be that beautiful prayer? That just like the little baby birds who are stranded in their nest and the mother doesn't come home. You know, little baby birds, they don't have wings yet. They can't fly. And when you're up in a tree nest, there's really no place to go if you can't fly. You know, they can't crawl down the tree. They're just in their nest. And if food doesn't come to them, they starve and die. They're totally dependent on their mother. Just like that little baby bird is crying for the mother to return, to give shelter, to give food, but the mother's not returning. Crying, the little bear birds are just choo, 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 crying for the mother to come. Please hear me, mother. Choo, choo, choo. Or like a calf that's hungry for her mother to come back from the pasture to give her milk. In that same mood, I am just yearning and longing for your association, my Lord. I'm yearning and longing for the opportunity to personally serve you. That was his mood. His total samadhi fixed in that consciousness while he was performing his duties as Vritrasura. So in that same way, little Prahlad, his sincerity, he didn't want anything. And Lord Chaitanya teaches this is actually what it means to be sincere, to have no ulterior motives. Ulterior motive means motives that are born of our ego and our selfishness. To please the Lord, to serve the Lord, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. That is the prayer. That is the desire of the great souls. In that one purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains how rare pure devotional service actually is. Krishna does not give it easily. The reason? Because when he gives pure devotion to someone, he also gives himself totally. He becomes subordinate to the love of his devotee. It's very rare. But Srila Prabhupada, he quotes Sanatana Goswami, what he heard from Lord Chaitanya, that Krishna will easily give pure devotional service if one is sincere, serious, and has no ulterior motives. These are the three qualifications by which Krishna will easily give us pure devotional service. He will willingly accept being conquered by our love and conquer us by his love. In the material world, people want to conquer. In the spiritual world, people want to be conquered. It's very opposite. We want to be conquered by Krishna's love. And Krishna wants to be conquered by our love. And we want to be conquered by everybody's love. And everybody wants to be conquered by our love. And people fight about that. But those are very loving fights. They're very sweet fights. There's no ego. To be conquered. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, they explain like this. Sincere, serious, no ulterior motives. Now what's the difference between being sincere and being serious? This is a serious, very sincere subject matter. Because there's three principles. These principles are extremely important. This is the qualifications required to get pure devotional service. Serious, sincere, no ulterior motives. And being serious and being sincere kind of sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? Now we can go into the detail, refined differences that there may be between the two, serious and sincere. But in essence, we can understand that when something is repeated, it really is important, or it is serious. Two out of the three, to be serious. And what does it mean to be serious? Inseparably, to not have ulterior motives. And this is very important, not just for enlightening the secular world. It's of critical importance for devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu, Krishna tells in Gita, the whole science of yoga, yogi namapi sarvesham madgatenantaratmana, in essence, what kind of yogi was Hiranyakashipu? In previous verses, Brahma himself, and he sees everything. He has eight eyes and four heads. He really sees a lot. And he has incredible vision. He lives 311 trillion years and he never has to wear reading glasses. He has supernatural vision. He's seen. He knows what's happened. You know, sometimes when we're around like, you know, 61 years or something, we're considered to be a little wise because we've seen so many things happen in this world. Well, Brahma's got a lot of wisdom. And he's quite overwhelmed by Hiranyakashipu. He knows his motives, but still, you know, even people have bad motives or, you know, impure motives. When they do incredible things on the material plane, you know, that's sometimes impressive. You know, I remember at Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra, we were there and these people were, they had these flaming torches and they were like eating them and they were throwing them and they were, devotees were quite impressed by that. What their motives were, I don't know. I guess they were trying to please Lord Jagannath. But when we see something that's materially quite astonishing, it's impressive. Lord Brahma was extremely impressed by Hiranyakashipu as far as his yoga practice. He said, no one has ever done what you have done. Bhrigu Muni, the greatest ascetics, the greatest yogis, even the people in Tapaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, the highest planets were, they don't care about material things. These upper planets, they're just in shanti, they're just in peace, they're just experiencing a much higher internal happiness.
No one has ever done what you have done. It's impossible. Brahma said, nobody's ever done it before, even the greatest, even the rishis, even the sages, even the yogis, even the sadhus, no one. The devas, and no one will ever be able to do what you have done. But he had ulterior motives. And he knew the scriptures, and he's offering incredible prayers. So we could be on the altar with Krishna offering arti. We could be dressing his own personal form. We can be speaking his message verbatim practically to tens and thousands of people. But ultimately Krishna sees, are we sincere? Are we serious? Do we have ulterior motives? Do we want fame? Do we want prestige? Do we want material power? Do we have any selfishness in us? The reality is, we do. Unless we're paramhamsas, we do have selfishness within us. We do have ego. We want all this stuff. We've been conditioned to and trying to enjoy it since time immemorial. But being sincere means I have these desires. I have these conditionings. I have these anartas. They're like weeds growing around this plant of pure devotion. But I don't want them. We pour our intentions, we pour the water of our intentions through our chanting of the holy names in our sadhana, not on these weeds, but on the devotional creeper that Srila Prabhupada and the great souls have awakened within our hearts. We pray to overcome these egoistic, selfish desires. We don't pray to fulfill them. We pray sam siddhir hari toshanam. How can I please you, my Lord? That is what it means to be sincere and serious and without ulterior motives. And if that is really honestly our objective, and we cultivate that objective, then Krishna will give us pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada will shower Krishna's blessings upon us. Little Prahlad, he was offered everything and just wanted to serve. And it's so interesting how in this material world, the culmination of his desire to serve was to offer forgiveness and pray for the welfare of the person who hated him and tried to destroy him. So, karuna. Karuna means compassion. Compassion upon the soul of another living being. Haridas Thakur, he prayed to forgive the king, the Qazi, and the executioners who blasphemed him, envied him, hated him, and did everything within their power to torture him, humiliate him, and kill him. He was praying for them. Little Prahlad was doing the same. Vasudev Dat was praying for everyone, whoever they were, whether he knew them or not. Srila Prabhupada on Jaladutta was his only prayer. Can you imagine being 70 years old, having heart attacks,
alone on a cargo ship, coming to a place where there may not be anyone to meet you. You have no place to go. You have no money. You don't know anyone. You're going to a different, first time he ever left India, he was coming to New York City. He had no idea what New York was going to be like on a material platform. It was a pretty emergency situation. And he was just praying to Krishna, give me the words to make them happy. They are now beaten down by the three modes of material nature and they're thinking they're enjoying. Give me the words to penetrate their hearts and make them spiritually happy. It was only prayer. You have given me this name, Bhaktivedanta, even though I have no devotion and I have no knowledge. It is up to you, my Lord, to fulfill this name, Bhaktivedanta. This is the quality of great souls. What do they pray for? What is their aspiration? So we cannot imitate, but Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta, to follow in the footsteps is the path of perfection. And that means what they are praying for should be the standard that we can pray for the same thing. And all of the other distractions and all of the other desires, they're there. We can't deny them. We can't artificially think we're great souls or advanced. We shouldn't try to fool others that way. We shouldn't try to fool ourselves that way. You know, many of us, we have jungles, massive jungles of weeds in this heart of ours. And where that little devotional creeper is, somewhat obscure. Do you have that experience? Overgrown jungle of weeds, practically limitless weeds. And it seems you cut it down and it just grows right back. And you cut it and it grows back. And you cut it. So we're honest, yes. My heart is a jungle of weeds. And they're all crying, they're all craving, they're all demanding our service, every single weed. Either today or tomorrow. Just depends on which one we're focused on. But they're all there, and they are demanding, crying, and they're all promising, I alone will make you happy. Yes? This is an opportunity you cannot resist. It may never come again. Just take it, take it, take it. Yes? You could do your rounds any day. You could read the Srimad Bhagavatam anytime. It's on your bookshelf. It's always there. As far as going to the temple, the deities are waiting for you. No problem every day. These things are always there. But now the weed is saying, but this is an opportunity that you may never get again to see this, to hear this, to taste this, to touch this, to enjoy this, to get this. Yes. And very, very convincing. The whole material energy, Maya, is empowering our little weeds or our big weeds to convince us. You know, these other things, procrastination. You know, everybody talks about procrastination, but everyone does it. So, you know, you could do it one more time. False promises. Endlessly distracting us. And every time we give in to feed that weed is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And its voice gets louder. And its influence becomes more powerful. So that's our situation. We're in a our little atmas in this jungle of weeds. But sincere means, yes, this is my situation, but it's not what I want. I'm not chanting the holy names to get this stuff. I'm not worshiping the deities to get this stuff. I'm not doing it for wealth or fame or power or control. Not even for liberation of suffering. I'm doing it to please you, my Lord. That's our prayer. That's our ambition. Let me overcome these obstacles to please you, my Lord. The only real obstacle there is in the path of devotion is the unwillingness to want to please Krishna. Nothing else is really an obstacle. We think that this person is an obstacle or this situation is an obstacle. But actually, all those obstacles can help us come closer to Krishna if we just turn to Krishna. Prahlad did not see Hiranyakashipu as an obstacle to his devotional service. How many of us have obstacles like Hiranyakashipu? And Prahlad, up until Narsingadev came, Prahlad, it's not like he ran away from home. There was nowhere for him, because Hiranyakashipu controlled the universe. There was nowhere for him to go. He was living in the house of Hiranyakashipu 24 hours a day, either directly under his evil eyes or under the representatives of his evil eyes. There was no place to go. And Prahlad didn't see him as an obstacle. He saw him as a friend. Just see how he's helping me to take shelter of Krishna. If we have sincerity, Krishna empowers us. In this particular verse, Hiranyakashipu is glorifying Krishna without using Krishna's name, because he knows Krishna is Hari. If he offers the praise of Krishna to Hari, Hari may steal things away from him. But if he offers the same praise to Brahma, Brahma has to give him what he wants. This is his motive. And it's such beautiful philosophy. He's basically explaining Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva in this verse. That the Lord has three features eternally. The all-pervading impersonal Brahman, the localized super soul or Paramatma within the heart, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the loving form of the Lord. And how this entire material manifestation is like the material body of the Lord. And how the Lord expands himself as unlimited living entities, the jivas. And they're trying to enjoy this material energy. Such incredible philosophy. But Srila Prabhupada, I heard it once, but I've quoted it thousands of times, where he was talking to one lady and he was talking about compassion, why you are killing animals and eating them. She said, can you tell me what is the influence of Indian gurus and how they have affected American culture, Western culture? And he said, what is the culture of West? You are eating cows and animals. They are your mother and you are eating them. And, you know, he was going on and on like that. Compassion. And she was trying to somehow or other get him to start speaking about the thesis she was trying to write for her PhD. And finally she said, you know, let us talk philosophy. Saying that to Srila Prabhupada, let us talk philosophy. Srila Prabhupada was very grave. He said, philosophy has little or no meaning without good character. That was the end of that. It wasn't the end, it was the beginning. Prabhupada continued talking to her about good character. But what is good character? In this context, good character is compassion. Compassion means like Prahlad, like Haridas, like Prabhupada himself. We're not envious, we're not selfish. It's not about me, it's about service, seva, selfless service. It's about really caring about the welfare of other living beings, really feeling paradukaduki. That is to feel happiness in another's happiness and distress in another's distress. That is character. On a spiritual level. So Hiranyakashipu is speaking incredible philosophy, but it's all totally useless because he has no good character. From a material perspective, it's very useful because he gets everything. But from a spiritual perspective, it's nothing. Prahlad is a great Mahajan, and our perfection is in following the footsteps of such Mahajans. This is the aspiration that we put on the altar of our heart as we're performing our devotional activities and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish ki jai.